B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
.503 in the evening, final hour of the program. 98.5 The Sports Hub FM dial is where you catch Felger and Maz in the Boston area. We simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. That's a simulcast. Catch us anytime, anywhere on the app. 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's how you get us live on the stream, all the replays as well. If you miss anything, just catch up that night, the next morning, and you're all whole on Felger and Maz. You can also just yell at your smart speaker in your house, say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub, and we pop right up. Maz does it with his 17 units throughout the course of his house.
Three.
And so it's really easy. Maz can attest to it. All dialed in perfectly. That's how you catch us. We had Ted Johnson in earlier, former Patriots linebacker. He's doing a weekly stint as long as the Patriots stay alive, which is once again, of course, all the way to the Super Bowl. Johnson found Van Noy's comments very interesting because, again, he knows that players aren't really allowed to talk like that. They're not allowed to. Have you ever heard a player say, We're trying to win because of what happened last year? They're not allowed to say, as simple as it is, they're not allowed to talk like that. Bill doesn't want them for whatever reason. They don't want them talking like that.
Not publicly, right.
Does this mean we're going to see Van Noy on the sidelines crying during the
game? I don't think it's that kind of trouble.
Sunday. Hope not.
I mean, it's just, but I think Bill should absolutely be using it. Here's Ted on that.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful what Van Noy said because he gave us a peek into the psychology of the team this year.
Exactly.
And it's nobody ever does that for that team. And so it was kind of like, there it is.
Does he get the old mimeographed copy in his locker, come see me, BB? Because that's a little off script, right?
It's very off script. But you know what? I don't know. I think Bill's changed. I think he's not the same.
That's right.
Chill Bill.
He lost his stinger.
He's Chill Bill. He's lost his stinger. So I don't think he probably polices that maybe as much as he used to.
Okay, so there's that. He also had some interesting stuff on Wade Phillips that we'll get to in a bit. But that's that. We'll get back to your phones. As promised, here's Ken in Medford on the NFL Overtime. We haven't really hit on that in a couple days, but go ahead, Ken.
Hey, real quick, thanks for taking my call. So me and my daughter were talking, and how about this? The team that scores the touchdown first, the other players get the ball, but they can't go for the extra point. If they score a touchdown, they have to go for 2 points.
Okay.
Are we still doing this?
No, I'm not.
Are we still doing this?
No, I'm not. I'm not. It's very simple. Just eliminate sudden death. Just play the 10 minutes. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, I think what they should do is just have two guys run the 100-yard dash. Someone actually emailed that yesterday.
Devin in Boston. Hi, Devin. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Just wanted to make a quick touch on the fact that obviously last year the atonement is a major issue for a major force for their drive to get the Super Bowl. But last year, that was bad, and it's only most of the team. But I think we got Tom and Bill that are playing for a completely different variable, and that's their legacy. The soul-crushing thought of them going 5-9 in Super Bowls has got to keep them up at night.
5-4. 5-4. If they win, they're 6-3 in the Super Bowl. If they lose, they're 5-4. Quite a gap there, isn't it?
It is. You know what? It feels a lot like that Seattle one when 4-2 sounds a hell of a lot better than 3-3, right? Like, same type of thing. It did cross my mind when they qualified for the game. Like, I thought, man, if they lose, they're 5-4. Ugh. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. 9 Super Bowls is 9 Super Bowls. So I don't know, if you believe in sort of the big picture, I have a hard time believing Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are going 5-4.
Exactly. History doesn't win games, and it shouldn't be a factor, but if you're asking me, are the Pats going to be the first team in 25 years to lose back-to-back Super Bowls? Like, I just don't feel they're going to be saddled with that. I don't feel that's going to happen to this team. Are they going to be 5-4, and are they just going to be barely above 500 in 9 Super Bowls? They're better than that. They're not going to... So, like, again, I got the Rams, but, like, that historical thing... Ooh, that doesn't. No, they're not going to lose back to back Super Bowls. They're not going to be 5-4 in this game.
I think it's a harder game to pick though than people are giving it credit for. Like,
especially because they lost it last year. I think that's so powerful, and be using that.
I mean, to me, it's a hard game to pick though. I think the Rams are good. I do. I think they're good, and I think that they're tough, defensively, and that if anyone's going to match that Patriots offensive line, you know, and they start trying to, you know, run the ball and just run over people, I think the Rams are one of the few teams that can handle it.
Here's Josh in Beverly. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just wanted to touch on all the Van Noy and Belichick conversation in terms of last year's Super Bowl and stuff. I think that there's a lot of good points that I've heard today on Belichick, but specifically I really do find it so funny that he won't reveal to the public or the fans at all really how I see it, how he's feeling about last year's game, the fact that he dismisses it completely. Obviously, it's going to affect how him and his team is feeling this year. But also, I mean, with that, I do think that there was some mistakes on his part and how he played people, and I don't want to try to touch on what might have been the deal with Butler off of the field or anything like that. But when it comes down to it, I think, you know, football is football, and, you know, play the guy if it's going to win you the game. In terms of Van Noy, I think that it's what he said is really curious to me. I definitely think it, in some ways, a bit offensive to the Eagles and saying that it's humbling that we lost to them. But I do think that he spoke a bit more of emotion and truth to where the Patriots are at than Bill
has. I think it's emotional and true and absolutely more genuine than what Bill's saying, no question. And I think the fact that Van Noy even brought it up means that it's been brought up internally, whether Bill will admit it or not. And so I think it is being used. It should be used. It's a powerful thing to use. Easy. Easy thing to use, but they're doing it. Again, the guy talked for so much, I can't remember what else he said that I wanted to hit on. It's got to be one point, people, or else I lose it. I lose the string.
No, you go numb.
What else did he say?
I don't know.
That's so annoying. Just give him one quick point and get off, and then we'll discuss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then otherwise we forget you.
No, what the heck else did he say? Robert in Florida. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, I'm calling from Port St. Lucie, Florida, and I'm excited that we might get the defensive coordinator down here, but if he does a good job shutting out the Rams, is there a possibility that that deal would fall through?
Well, no, except, I don't know, you had the offensive coordinator gone last year at this time of year, and he jumped off the plane. So I guess I'd never say never. But now Murray just reported that Flores has taken Chad O'Shea with him, who's the receivers coach, who was thought to be the heir apparent at offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that came out earlier today, yeah.
So Josh McDaniels isn't going anywhere, so it's not like you're losing your offensive coordinator, but you're losing sort of your second in command on offense.
Yeah.
Now both these guys are signed, sealed, and delivered. They've spent the last couple days and weeks signing contracts, agreeing to terms. Now they're starting to move their family, and like all this stuff is in motion while you're game planning for a Super Bowl.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Is it a non-factor or is it a factor?
I mean, they've won before when it's happened.
It has. Last year it happened and they lost.
Okay. So
Last year Patricia was gone to Detroit and McDaniels, we thought, was gone to Indy.
Well, then maybe that's why Bill's keeping Flores under wraps.
So I do find that interesting that they haven't made Flores available to the media after he has been this year. You have to, you know, leave an offensive coach and a defensive coach available for that conference call the other day. And this week he brought out the defensive line coach and the week before he brought out his kid, Steve Belichick, as opposed to letting Brian Flores talk on the conference call. So I don't know what good that is, Bill, because you're heading down to Atlanta next week, and they got to be everyone in the organization's available every day just about.
So now that Chad O'Shea is gone, and he, again, is the apparent successor to McDaniels after when McDaniels goes, who's next on the depth chart?
I don't know.
Jerry Schaplinski.
Who's that?
I'm serious.
Who is that?
I asked about this today when I heard this story.
Who is it?
Jerry, he's the quarterback's coach, apparently. Jerry Schaplinski. Good luck with that one.
Have you ever heard Bill talk or Brady talk about Schaplinski?
No.
Not once. It's Have the you first ever? Time I've actually hearing the name.
No, I've heard, now that you've said it, I mean, this is, it's embarrassing that I don't know who the quarterback's coach is, but I've never heard anyone else mention it.
Patriots quarterback coach Jerry Schaplinski.
I've never heard Zoe mention him. I've never heard a commentator mentioned him. I can't remember Bill ever talking about him. I certainly don't remember Brady ever saying, yeah, me and Jerry went over that on Tuesday on the game plan. Have you ever heard Brady come off the field and say, yeah, Jerry suggested I go to the backside on that one?
What's his background, Mess?
I don't know. I'll check that one out for you, but I hope that he didn't go to the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.
I've heard Brady say plenty of me and Josh and Josh and Josh. I've never heard him say Jerry.
No, apparently he has a good reputation from what I understand.
I'm sure it's fine. I don't think it matters like in terms of next year. But this game, I don't know. It wasn't so hot last year. That I do know. Here's our buddy, Chris in Raynham. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, Felger, you keep talking about does Belichick look in the mirror after last year's game. Did you look in the mirror Sunday night and think about all the mistakes you've made this year about this team?
Sure.
Because
did.
You're one of the worst at saying I was wrong. You might skirt around it and say, oh, I could have made a better take, or but you had so many wrong takes. I want a whole episode dedicated to your worst takes of this year. Because you guys had a lot this year, and that's why you're bringing back last year's Super Bowl, because you don't have much to say about this year, because you were dead wrong.
Well, because you are a six-year-old, you don't care when I'm right in your favor, because I spent all last year at the end of the year talking how you're going to roll through the Jaguars and roll to the championship, and it was an easy, easy Super Bowl championship for you, but because it was pro-Patriot, it doesn't register with you because you're 8 years old, Chris. It's only when anti-Patriot that you remember because you're a child.
You know, have been the whiniest this week. This is the worst you've been. You're so whiny because they won. You're bringing up last year's Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler. That's such an old, tired story, and you're bringing it up.
Oh, but it's a good one. It's a good one. You blew it. You lost it. You blew it. You should have won that one. You lost it. It's so good. And I've largely today sort of gotten over it. I had 3 days where I was trolling you pretty good. I've calmed down. Today I wasn't doing that. I liked Van Noy's comments, so we're just following up on it. But since you called, yeah, you blew it. Oh, all you had to do was pay one of your best defensive backs, but Bill wouldn't play him because, oh, let's wait till that one comes out and see how that one tastes. I didn't feel the need to go there till Chris called, but that's what that does to me.
Oh, yeah, no, Chris, and you know what? It was you. You blew it.
You lost. How does that one taste? But you want about wrong predictions. I was wrong all the way through last year about the Patriots. Do you care? It was pro-Patriot. You can be as wrong as you want, just so you're pro-Celtic, pro-Patriot, pro-home team. You can be as wrong as anything. No one knows, no one cares, because all they want to hear is happy, or some fans just want to hear happy talk about the team. It's not about being right or wrong, it's about being pro-Patriot or anti-Patriot. That's what it's about. Let's just be honest about it.
Now that I think of it, how come nobody called up after the Chargers game and gave me credit?
Because you were pro-Patriot, and you know that doesn't register.
Because I picked the Pats that week.
Yeah. Well, no one even remembers.
It's an interesting point by you.
They just want you to be pro team. Doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. The only right or wrong thing comes out if they're butthurt because you said a bad thing about the team.
I'm still waiting for my apology on the gentleman sweep I called for the Red Sox World Series win over the Dodgers. But nope, still get tweets about the wheel of gutless bums.
Yeah, no, I didn't call for a gentleman sweep in that series, no.
Here comes a quick word from our sponsors, and we're right back.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll stop the run on our way to the quarterback. That's his attitude, okay? And that's what he says. And God bless him. That's great. But, you know, you can only get to the quarterback if you can stop the run. If you have a defense that's getting run on, then they're not going to be as good rushing the passer because the play action comes into play. It throws a pass rush off rhythm, particularly if the Patriots get up early on this team, then it makes it even easier. Then you can just, then you can dictate terms, if you will. But Wade's kind of thing is blitz. He used to blitz more than anybody. I don't know if he's still doing it. Rush five, get single matchups. But how did the Patriots kind of neutralized that when he was the defense coordinator for the Texans? The ball would come out so fast.
That's Ted Johnson, Wade Phillips, who you owned when he was in Houston. Then he got to Denver and it wasn't as good. He got you the last time, that AFC Championship game in Denver 2015, where he did totally mix up his scheme. Just didn't blitz as much, mixed in some zone coverages, and just changed what he does. So what Wade Phillips are you going to get? The one that runs, and Bill Belichick talked about it a lot today, how he's been running the same thing for 30 years. 30 years he's been running the same defense. And if he just does what he does, he's toast. But does he do what he did the last time and give Brady different looks and change what he does? In which case, they have a chance. So that's sort of a fascinating thing right there.
I mean, to me, it might be the single biggest decision of the game. It's how Wade Phillips approaches it. If he goes conventional, and I mean for him, that he does what he most often does, I think Brady will kill him. Absolutely kill him. But the second part of that is, I also think there's an element of this with the Patriots defense. You know, because the Patriots defense, Belichick prides himself on being quote-unquote multiple, right? That we will tailor the game plan every week to the opponent. And so everything you hear about Goff, and now I'm going back to the story that Ben Volen wrote today in the Globe, because I think the decisions that are going to be made by both defenses are going to be huge in this game. You go back to that Volan story, and Volan says that Goff excels against man-to-man. He's bad against zone. Well, the Patriots play man-to-man most of the time. I think man-to-man suits their best defensive back, who is Stephon Gilmore. So, are you going to play zone? Because that's what you should do against Goff.
Do you have those stats?
I do. I have them right in front of me. And this is a story on a website I've never heard of, but Touchdown Wire. And it says, per Sports Info Solutions, Goff posted a quarterback rating of 114.4 against man coverage, fourth highest in the NFL. That rating dropped to 96.7, 18th in the league against the zone. And 9 of his 12 regular season interceptions were against zone coverage.
Goff struggles against zone, but that's not your strength. You run man. So what do you do?
So this to me is like, okay, well, which one is it, Bill? Are you going to do what you do best, or are you going to do what they do worst?
And he typically picks on what they do worst.
Correct. Makes you do what you are uncomfortable doing. So if the I think that to me it feels like playing man against this team would be a mistake. So in some ways, Belichick has the same decision to make that Wade Phillips does.
Right.
To me, that part of it, how the defense is approaching, is going to be a fascinating part of the game.
We continue with your thoughts. Paul in New Hampshire on the Van Noy comment. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Question to you guys is, I think what Van Noy said is what the whole team thinks. And I know that because I've played sports, Babe Ruth, baseball, and... when you lose a team one year, you want to go win. You know what I mean?
Simplest thing in the world. Yep. Simplest thing in the world that normally Bill would not let his players talk about for some ungodly reason. Every other team in pro sports, all four leagues, would be allowed to talk about trying to atone from a loss last year, but I never hear a Patriots player talking about it. Never. Never. And it's just a simple little thing Bill has about, it's about today's practice and today's game. It's not about last year, and it's a new team and a new week. And if you start thinking like that, then blah, blah, blah. But again, I think the Van Noy thing was just rare insight into something they're using this week. They've been using, you know, media commentary, certainly to motivate themselves the last couple of weeks. That's been obvious. Now there's this one. We left one on the table last year, fellas.
So do you think Bill behind the scenes, though, is playing it up?
Yes, my guess.
So in other words, it's not really a... Bill's against it. He just doesn't want it out there.
Right. You don't say that. We're not going to keep how we motivate ourselves in-house. Like, you know, Brady after the game,
none of you believed in us. I guess we suck.
He'll say it in victory coming off the field. He didn't say it before the game. And when he was asked to go back into it before the last week's game, he didn't do it. So Bill doesn't want his players talking like that before the game. After the game, have at it. Whatever. So...
look, he should be using it. It's a good motivator.
It's easy.
Like, fellas, remember how you felt after that game last year. Okay, we don't want to feel that again.
Easy motivator. Jamie in Fitchburg. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, guys. What, did that guy say he played Babe Ruth?
Yeah.
Wow, that's some great insight we got there. Jeez. I kind of want to switch it up and talk about the linebackers. I know that had been a weakness in the past, going into Super Bowls and playoff games. Well, what do you think about the play? You know, Van Noy and Hightower's coming along and... well, I just wanted to get thoughts on the linebacker playing in the Super Bowl.
Like, Van Noy, dare I say, has become like a weapon.
He was the best player on the defense last week.
It wasn't even close.
10 tackles, I mean, 2 sacks, a quarterback hit, another pressure. He was awesome.
Blitzing, pressuring around the ball, around the quarterback. Like,
he had 10 tackles. No one else had more than 4.
Jesus. No, last week he was a freaking weapon.
I mean, so listen, I give him all the credit in the world because I think we said this early in the year, despite what the perception is. Van Noy played well all year. I think we said early in the year he's improved.
Even on that nightmare play at the end of the Miami game, he's the only guy that tried to tackle.
I mean, so here's a scary thought. What if something happens to him?
Man, just put the effing Jimmy or the hex on him.
I mean, but this is my... I think you could argue he's the most valuable guy in the defense, for crying out loud.
I'm not sure if I'm going there.
Well, so no, it's Flowers,
straight
really.
Flowers, yes.
It is. It's Flowers, but he's in the top three.
He's in the discussion. Okay, but what happens to anyone? I mean, you could say that about any good player in this
game.
Yeah,
but they have nobody behind him.
What happens if they lose Aaron Donald? What happens if they lose Peters or, you know, Aqib Talib?
I'm just telling you that the Patriots have nothing behind Van Noy at linebacker. Hightower's cooked, and Landon Roberts is below average.
Liam and Peabody. Hi, Liam.
Yes, hey, guys. Remember that AFC championship game that you're talking about? They had a different offensive line coach who they fired the next day for incompetence, and that's why they Wade Phillips' team really won. If had that game been in New England, I think Patriots would have killed them.
Well, possibly. It's true. Crowd noise absolutely killed the Patriots that that day. Dante Scarnecchia was not the coach at the time. It was DeGuglielmo. You didn't have, you know, it was Solder, and was it still Cannon on the right side in that game?
I think so.
I can't remember.
I believe it was.
It might have been. But either way, it's not going to be the same kind, you know, even if the Super Bowl gets loud, it's not going to be Denver. So there's a lot of factors that are different from this time to last time, no question about it.
Interesting that he blames Dave DeGuglielmo for the offensive line performance, but he doesn't blame Bill for the fact that the game was in Denver.
No, when it doesn't work, it's an assistant's fault. When it works, it's Bill's genius.
I'm telling you. Bill Belichick is the guy you want to be if you're dying and you're reincarnated. You can't lose. Everyone else gets the blame. You get the credit. When you screw up, it's by design. And at age 66, 67, you've got a hot blonde.
Andrew in Milton. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Felger, I just want to know, who's the bigger baby? Chris and Raynham or the Patriots Bobos, you like to refer to them as, or the guy who watches the game on fan cred? And when he sees the game is going to go the wrong way, you don't want to go, and the Pats are going to win, starts dropping F-bombs, going, the game's fixed, the game's fixed.
Well, yeah, that one got away from me a little bit. In general, who's a bigger baby? Come on. It's Chris and Raynham. Chris and Raynham, or his ilk, doesn't want you to do shows about how wrong you were when you picked the Patriots. I picked the Patriots all through last year. Not one word from Chris and Raynham. Why don't you do a show about how wrong you were? Because all Chris Raynham wants is you to support the team. That's, they don't want you to be right or wrong. They want you to support the team. Don't you get it?
I think we should actually do that sometime. Like next holiday book. All the things we got wrong in the calendar year. I mean, we could fill the whole week.
Think about it. There's not enough time. Not enough time. Not even close.
I like the idea, though.
We've got Murray's update, and we're right back. I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Do you think last year's Super Bowl loss the Patriots extra hungry to win this year?
Well, I think, you know, right now, this football team is this football team. It's not any other one. And we're going to do the best we can to perform as well as we can against the Rams. And that's going to be a huge challenge. But it's really just about us right now. There's nothing in the past that does or doesn't help us. So we're going to bond together and coach and play as well as we can next Sunday night.
It's weird that he doesn't admit it. Nothing in the past that will or won't help us, which is just so patently false. You lost to a team the first time around. The second time around, you say these guys got you last time. Atone for that loss. It's like 101. Like every coach does it in every sport. You should do it. It's easy. Why won't he admit that he does it?
I don't know.
It's so weird, right?
No, it's like he's, you know, I say paranoid. Paranoid's the wrong word. But like, you know, and look, sometimes we edit out pauses and whatnot in responses. But you listen to the question, it's like he can't get the answer out fast enough, to, you know, at least in the one we just heard. This seems not like any other team. We're just going to play this game. I mean, for him, who like labors over every word, that's like talking fast. The way he went, he just wants nothing to do with it. He won't go anywhere near it. And so, but behind the scenes, I would hope he's holding it out there. However he wants to do it, he's got to be careful on this one, I think.
Exactly, because the players are going to go, Bill.
It's kind of on you.
You left it on the table too now, fella. So we all have to atone, including the game planning and the personnel use. And are we going to let personal little agendas, as Danny Amendola said, get in the way of putting the right personnel on the field? Like, you're right. He's got to. So it's really got to be. We all.
Absolutely. Which is why he should do it collectively. Guys, I don't know about you. This is how I felt on the plane home. I suspect you felt the same way for all of us. Let's remember that feeling and not have it again. Right? Like, if you do it like that, then I think it works. But, and he's smart enough to know that. After that whole nonsense last year, he couldn't possibly be stupid enough to make that same mistake. No way. And again, you know, say what you want about Belichick. You will never, ever, ever hear me say that he's stupid. Because he's not. He's sharp as a tack.
We continue with your thoughts here. Take it up right until the final word. Joe in Weymouth on last week. Go ahead, Joe.
You know, it'd be funny if Vandoy gets benched. No, what it is I was thinking that, you know, you guys say that Belichick doesn't admit it in public, which I don't even think he admits it to the team. Maybe that's why Brady and Gronkowski was
pulling their stuff off season last year, you know, not showing up for OTAs and whatnot. But I think they need to learn from their mistakes, because that goal line interception in the second quarter was ridiculous. I mean, they won a Super Bowl because Seattle did the same thing, and, you know, they intercepted it, and we won because of that.
Okay, well, Bill said it was getting too cute. He said that was – we tried to get too cute. So I don't know if he was talking about Brady. He's talking about the play call. If he's talking about the play call, he can veto it. He can – he's the one on the headset who can say, no, no, let's run it, and they'll run it. So I don't know who he was talking about getting too cute with, but that was the play call, and it was never there. It was never open for a second. So I doubt they'll make – with the way they've been running the ball – I doubt they'll make that mistake again.
So do you have an opinion on who he was talking about? In other words, you know, we got too cute. Like, if you had to guess, who would you pick?
Josh.
I lean that way, too, actually.
That was a play call.
Yeah, I lean it that way, too, because otherwise, the last thing he wants to do is pick a fight with Brady right now, right?
Yes, exactly. Now that they're lovers again. Marty in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Marty.
Felger, real quick. They could fix the officiating. One more official just up top could throw a flag, no replays, no nothing, buzz down, say this is what happened. What are your thoughts?
So I'm telling you, Marty, it sounds commonsensical, but how do you write it? When is a guy up top allowed to reverse an egregious call? How do you write that a rule? You know, say, I mean, how do you, if again, I made this analogy the other day, if that pass interference in New Orleans was a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 of bad calls, and you say, okay, in that situation, the guy up top can throw down the flag and reverse it. What if it's 8 on a scale of 10? And we say, okay, that's still very obvious. If it's a 8 on a scale of 1 to 10, then fine. You can reverse it. What if it's a 7? What if it's a 6? Next thing you know, is he weighing in on 50-50 calls? You have to write the rule to say, this is when you can overturn. This is how you do it. This is the circumstance you do it. You tell me how that's written, where this game doesn't become bogged down with constant sort of dinking around with the guy upstairs.
Well, and then you know what? Even aside from that, don't you have the same problem? That ultimately you're relying on someone's judgment? It's, you know, the guy's going to have to make a judgment call. Is this one that I step in on or not? Which is what you have now.
I'm just saying. I mean, that PI there in New Orleans wasn't much of a judgment call. It was. I'm just saying to actually write the rule and go forward with it. If you don't want chaos, you've got to define when you can whistle down. And that's a hard thing to do. I mean, again, I don't know how you do that. Matt in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
How do you not do it the same way that you do it when you're overturning a regular call? Like, how come it can't just be clear and consensus that it was an egregious penalty and overturn it?
Define egregious. Define clear and egregious.
It's the same way they do it when they reverse a catch on the field or a non-catch.
No. And Matt, let me just stop you. They absolutely define that to the word. It used to be control 2 feet, survive the ground. Actual language attached to it. Now it's control 2 feet, football move. They define it. You tell me how you define pass interference or holding or something like that, word for word. It's impossible. That's my point. Sorry. What else you got?
I just think that Belichick needs to get a little bit more credit. You guys are telling him that he's smart. He's obviously a master motivator. I don't ever fault him for not wanting to tell the week before the team what he's doing. But the fact of the matter is he beat the Chargers and he beat the Kansas City Chiefs. It's got nothing to do with Brady on third down because he never had that opportunity if it wasn't the way that both of those games were coached. So he obviously has motivated that team to step up and play above the level they've played. The only game they've come even close all year to playing like they've played the last two games was against the Vikings.
So they flipped the switch, no doubt about it. But do you really believe that Brady on third down had nothing to do with it?
He would have nothing to do with the fact that he wouldn't have been there.
Belichick's the one that got him incomplete on first and second down? What are you talking about?
I mean, that's asinine. That was the whole game, for crying out loud. And especially in the fourth quarter and overtime. 5 for 5 on third down. 5 for 5, Brady was. He was money. And 3 of them in the overtime were 3rd and 10.
What is happening with some of these? I don't understand what people are like. Pissy about.
Because again, people get so dug in on their own opinion, they can't see the reality. Like, the reality is that, look, I don't think Brady played a great game Sunday night. I don't. But at the key times,
boy,
he was money. Holy crap, was he money.
Here's Ed and Whitman. This should be good, too. Hi, Edward.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
My first point kind of bleeds into my second point. I hate the talk of you know, leaving whatever, a Super Bowl, any game, when they're like, oh, they should have won. As soon as you start doing that, then you and the Patriots fans are just as guilty when they're like, we should have won that one against the Giants, and other teams when they're like, they never should have won that Super Bowl. I just think if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. It's just that simple. All the other factors, they kind of all even out at the end, which kind of leads me to my second thing, which is you guys have like a convenient take on the Patriots, which is basically if they win, the other team sucks and made a mistake. If they lose, the Patriots suck. And it just gets old over time.
No, maybe to you. I love it. When you win, we blast the other guy. When you lose, we blast you. Exactly.
That's the oldest rule in the book.
101.
Yeah. It's the first rule of sports journalism.
101.
When you lose, we make fun of you. When you win, we make fun of the other guy.
Done.
It's the oldest rule in the book.
617-779-0985.
Yes.
I mean,
please call.
Yeah.
Isn't that how life has always worked? I'm supposed to find silver linings? I hate silver linings.
It is easy. Again, when you gave me 2 points, I can't remember the first I wanted to comment on. What was
No, you accept the wins and losses for what they are.
Yes. And I think that's largely fair, right? The Giants deserved to win in 07. They definitely deserved in 2011. They were better than you in 2011. So, like, I get all that. And at the end of the day, did the Seahawks deserve to win if, you know, Darrell Bevell doesn't throw the ball and Pete doesn't let him? Well, yeah, but Pete let him, so he deserved to lose. Like I understand all this. I think it's totally fair, though, to look back on last year going against a rookie quarterback with all your experience and all your institutional knowledge and your coach and say you left one on the table.
From a defensive game plan standpoint, they slapped it out there. And again, I didn't make much of it at the time. I just thought it was perfect fodder for Adam Jones. But Belichick going to that midweek Timberwolves game.
I love how you're embracing this now, Murray.
I really am. Because that's so uncharacteristic. Now that I think about it, like, I'm more mad about it a year later. I really am. Because it just proves.
Because you went to the first half of Timberwolves Bucks on Wednesday?
Work on the game. You obviously didn't. You get shredded by this bum that made a deal with Satan, Nick Foles. Please. Instead, no. Oh, come on. I'll take my busty blonde here and get front row to see the stupid Timberwolves midweek.
I mean, I think that they weren't as dialed in as they normally are. I would have gone to the game with a hot blonde too, though.
But
real quick, what was the spread on that game?
I don't remember. Was it over three? Three and a half?
Had to be. Was it six? Like, can we find that? Because the Patriots were favored in that game. Not many people were giving the Eagles a chance. So, like, the idea that all of a sudden, you know, it was a close game, not a lot of people saw it that way going in.
We've got Patrick in Bellingham. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
Two quick things. Number one, if the Rams get behind early in the game, do you see with those kind of personalities like Sue, Peters, Tlaib, them kind of just falling apart just because of their personalities? And the second thing is kind of a fun proposal for overtime. Kicker v. kicker, 5 kicks, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Let them go one-on-one. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Patriots are favored by 5.5.
I was going to guess about 6. Yeah, I thought it was around a touchdown.
Will the Rams fall apart if you get up on them? I mean, you're right that Tlaib has the chance to, you know,
lose
his mind at any point in time, and Dominican Sue will flat-out quit and get cheap.
Peters.
All that. Right, Peters, too, the strangler, all that. Except they were down to the Dallas Cowboys in the first half and came back and won. Not prohibitively, but they went down, I think, in the first or second quarter of that ball game.
7-3, I think it was.
And they were, Cooper hit a long crossing route. It put the Dallas Cowboys ahead, and the Rams came back. In New Orleans, a really hard place to play, they were down, was it 13-0?
13-0.
And they looked all discombobulated, and they couldn't figure out the crowd noise and the communication. They looked like they weren't ready to go, and they came back and won.
Right after that fake punt, it all started going for them.
So, feels like they've overcome some of those situations in the past.
So my gut would be it depends on how it happens, although the Saints game's an argument against it because the defense was playing well in the early part of that game, and then they gave up a touchdown. If it's 21-0 or 21-3, I could see the defense losing its mind. Yeah. I could see those guys getting so frustrated they start getting personal fouls and all kinds of crap.
Mike in Woburn joins us next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Just quick, I know you've complained about the punt, the call on the punt, the reversal, and said that Brady would have thrown the interception afterwards, and then they would have gotten two.
I mean, you just can't piece it together either way. You don't know what would have happened.
Right. So why I didn't understand why your sort of string theory was behind the complaint that if they get the muff punt and they score, and you're saying what if Brady throws an interception?
Still threw the interception. I mean, fans are saying that the play became a wash because Brady threw an interception two plays later. What if he threw the interception two plays after a kickoff, after a touchdown or a field goal? Why are you assuming that he only threw the interception because you didn't get the call?
Or, and my response is because, you know, why are you assuming that, you know, that the kickoff isn't run back, you know, in that alternate reality? I mean, I feel like we could do that on every – we could basically say that once that call is made on that punt, that we've diverged from the timeline that Brady throws a pick off of Edelman's hands like two downs later.
Look,
you know, I mean, like, let me ask you this. Like, yeah. If the Seahawks don't make that circus catch off of that guy's Heine right. in Super Bowl 49, does Butler still pick off the Seahawks on a play that should have been a run two plays later? Probably not, right?
Right. I'm not taking that one away from you.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, Mike, did I say it was a bad break?
No.
Okay. So why did you immediately jump to that conclusion? I'm curious.
I can't remember how you said it now, even, because that's how I jumped to that conclusion.
Look, the only thing I'm saying is, in the past, when people have called in and said, Brady would have 8 Super Bowls if they didn't have the helmet catch and blah, blah, blah,
right.
and you've said, well, you know, we got to count the breaks. You know, Brady himself might have been responsible for that break, because if D Ford has, you know, Jet Goff across from him on that line of scrimmage, does he feel like he has to line up?
Don't do that.
Closer to the other side?
They snapped the ball 97 times, and that was the one time D Ford lined up offsides. You don't think that's a good break?
That's a brain lock.
Would you please?
That's a brain lock.
Would you please? He could have lined up that way. Any of the other 97 snaps, he chose that one, the one you threw a game-losing interception on. That's a good break, but I'm not going to take it away from you. I wanted to after the game. I wanted to take it away from you. Again, I've calmed down. I'm not taking it away from you. You deserved it. You deserved it. You're the better team. Fine.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
No, what? Fine.
Was he on the injury report?
Fine, but keep it real. You got some breaks. It could have gone either way. It went.
No, that last thing you just said.
I'm sorry. What did I say? I can't remember. Again, there's too many things in my head, Jimmy. The final word comes your way next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? Only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. One piece of sound here in the final word today. It's a quick recap of how the callers really got under the skin of one Tony Maserati. Real early to start the show.
I don't remember this.
I do. Dave in South Boston. Hi, Dave.
Hey, you got to remember one thing about last year, guys. This is a whole different team. We limped into the playoffs last year. We have the two best offensive tackles in football this year. We had the two worst last year. And we still should have beat him with our second string.
So I can't tell you how much of what I disagree with what the caller just said. One sack. They averaged 5 yards a rush. Brady passed for 500 yards. The offensive line was bad in that game. Philly's defensive line is awesome. Absolutely awesome. My recollection is they scored in that game. That's my recollection. And Eric Rowe was hurt. So now Eric Rowe is a better option than J.C. Jackson? Like, this is all bullcrap. Okay, it's all bull. Let's not have revisionist history here that all of a sudden they were in perfectly good shape going into that Super Bowl. And by the way, Gronk was healthy. 9 catches, 2 touchdowns, 116 yards. I mean, can we put a sock in it like all of a sudden last year was some type of... That call pissed me off. Like, we're going to rewrite history now that somehow that team was on fumes?
Yeah, we aren't. He is. Anthony on Cape Cod. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing, Felger, you freak? If the Patriots are able to do what they've been doing, they're really unstoppable at this point.
So from the Rams' perspective, the only chance they have to be more physical... Okay, well, the Rams are going to be there.
What, Maz? What's wrong?
If the Rams have a chance... So now, again, this is blowing my mind. 2 weeks ago, we didn't think this Patriots team would make it through these two rounds. Now they have, and they're unstoppable?
Unstoppable.
People are going too much in the other direction
here.
And this was...
What did you expect?
So, okay, but
I never sensed that.
It's irrational.
No.
The Rams went 13-3. The Rams don't have a chance? Vegas has got this game at 3 points, and it started basically at even.
They started at the Rams minus one.
See, this is the type of stupidity that got them in trouble last year, that somehow they are invulnerable. Now, look, I thought that Philly team was a worthy opponent. Okay, going into the game, and I told you I thought the Patriots defense was going to have a problem. So I hate to be the voice of doom again. But this game is not a slam dunk. And anyone who acts like that is an asshat.
But you can call us regardless. The asshat line is 617-779-0985.
I feel like he couched that a little bit, Maz. Like he wanted to use another word starting with ass rather than hat.
And the second syllable begins with an H?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that crossed my mind.
Understandable, though.
Yeah. No, but you know what? The more that I think about it, let's just bag the trip. They're going to win, right? What's the point?
Unstoppable.
Yeah. I mean, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. We can do the shows from here.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. Get Mike Thomas on the phone. Will you get the program director on the phone? Mike, we're not going.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.